Hi, welcome to our presentation. My name is Elisabeth Ouvet-Benoit, and this is my colleague Andrew Kerr. So our project is exploring nurse preceptor and nursing student perception and applying the adaptive mentorship model. So there's two main clinical teaching approach in nursing. There's the preceptorship and the mentorship. Traditionally, preceptorship has been used and conceptualized as a teaching-learning approach involving a nurse preceptor and a nursing student in the clinical setting. This approach has raised many challenges. The nurse preceptor feel unprepared to undertake their role, they lack support and distress, and they experience distress. Also, for the nursing student, they experience unclear expectation, ineffective communication style with their preceptor, and they have conflicting values. Also, previous attempts to address these challenges has only focused on either the preceptor or on the nursing student. So, as an alternative clinical teaching approach, the mentorship has been defined as a mutually beneficial, collaborative and trusting relationship with the goal of facilitating the professional and personal growth of the mentor and the protégé. And the mentorship see the protégé and the mentor as only one entity, a dyad. So the adaptive mentorship model is a mentorship approach that has the goal of facilitating the mentor and the protégé collaboration and communication.
Yeah. So essentially, although the model might look a little bit complex at first, it's pretty straightforward. You have two grids over here. This one represents the mentor. This one represents the protégé. Essentially, the model guides the mentor to adapt their approach according to the protégé's developmental learning needs. And it can be used for any skill. And the central tenet of the model is that when there's a mismatch between the mentor's approach and the student's the protégé's learning needs, conflict will arise in the relationship. So as a quick example, let's consider inserting an IV for the first time for a nursing student. So generally, a nursing student will not have a lot of confidence for the first time performing a technical skill. And as it's their first time, their competence will be low. So the adaptive mentorship model would suggest that the mentor provide a high amount of support in terms of emotional bolstering to help aid confidence and to provide a high amount of task direction, so for instance, modeling or guidance or providing instruction.
Okay. Also, there's only one encounter that describes the applicability of this model in nursing, and there's no previous study that look at the perception of the and the experience of the adaptive mentorship model in the context of a dyad in the clinical practice. So thus, research looking at the application of the AM model within nursing is wanted. So our study aim is to explore the perception of nurse preceptor and third year undergrad nursing student who apply the AM model within their dyad during a community health clinical practicum over one semester. So we use a qualitative descriptive design. So first we introduce the AM model during a workshop in a CSSS in Quebec provinces. And so we introduced the model to 20 nurse preceptor and nursing students. After, we recruit the participants at the end of the workshop until mid-October. And we use a convenience sampling, and five dyads were recruited. Also, for the data collection, we proceed to one-on-one audio-recorded semi-structured interview with each participant. For the data analysis, we use a consent comparative method to analyze the content. So, in terms of the sociodemographic data, the nurse students are aged between 18 and 24 years old. They are part of a third year undergraduate nursing program. And we recruit also five nurse preceptors. They are aged between 40 and 59 years old. They all receive previous training orientation as to undertake their role as a preceptor. And also four nurses have 1 to 5 years of experience has been a preceptor. So participants perceive an exploring participant perception of the application of the AI model, three interrelated themes emerge. There is reflection through exposure, communicating to match, and averting and resolving conflict. To capture the interrelatedness of this theme, the result will be presented in terms of dyad. So participants perceive that the workshop stimulated reflection through exposure to the model. Participants reflect on their own role, and as they are reflecting, they are become more aware on their own role within the dyad, and they communicate to match with each member of the dyad. Matching was described by participants as a way of being on the same page with one another, so mutually understanding the preceptor and the student in the dyad. Also, as participants communicate regularly, the AI model contributes to avert and resolve conflict within the dyad.
So I'll go through the sub-themes. So for our first theme, which was reflection through exposure, basically participants were introduced to the model and led them to reflect on two things. One is that the model was naturally intuitive. They compared their existing approach to what was suggested in the model. And for participants, that seemed to be something that was very familiar. A lot of them already felt that they were doing this type of approach anyway. Right? One quote from the student says, "When I heard about the concept of the model, we did it naturally and automatically." Right? The second type of reflection was that they reflected on their roles. All participants compared the approach put forth by the model and asked themselves whether or not they were doing something that was similar. And it ended up for participants to consider how they could better approach the relationship. As one preceptor said, "This model helped me to do my role well or better in order to help my student." For our second theme, communicating to match, participants were engaged in a continual dialogue about whether or not they were communicating, whether or not they were matching in terms of students' learning needs and the way that the preceptor was providing support. This gave way to providing the foundation for an equal partnership where both participants had a shared responsibility to contribute to this dialogue. For instance, a student said that it makes both people using the AM model equal in a sense. You both have something to give each other, and that makes communicating more friendly. A very interesting finding is that both participants felt that the AM model gave students a voice. It empowered them to voice their learning needs to their preceptor and reduced the power differential that might be considered to be a hierarchy. Right? As one preceptor said, it empowered the student and reduced the idea of power and authority. It's interesting to note that out of our five dyads, one dyad only applied the model at about the midterm evaluation time. And the student perceived before they applied the model that there was a hierarchy within the relationship, meaning that the student perceived that she was not able to communicate freely and openly what her learning needs were to the preceptor. And interestingly, once they applied the model at the midterm point, the student felt that the power differential was reduced and that communication was then facilitated and that she was able to speak about what she needed to her preceptor. And a final theme, averting and resolving conflict. One sub-theme was that the model, through clarifying expectations, as both dyads were engaged in a continuous dialogue, that conflict was averted because they were continuously focused on whether they were matching or not. As a student said, "In the beginning, we were off page, but then she was able to guide me properly. I was able to understand what her expectations were of me." And a final sub-theme, which is personality clashes. As they were continually focusing, right, on the model, they thought that the model was one way of removing any potential conflict from the interpersonal subjective space, and it helped them to move it into more of an objective area where they could use the model as a language to address what their conflict may have been. So And they also thought about using this not only for current relationships, but also future relationships. As one preceptor said, if I was having a conflict, the model would be something to relate to and discuss. We'd have something concrete to focus on. So the main findings, the take-home message for the findings is that communication seems to be something that is crucial for dyads to be able to meet the students' learning needs and for preceptors to provide the appropriate support. Looking at the literature that's been done on mentorship in nursing students, few studies have been done that have looked at empowerment for nursing students within the clinical setting. Most have focused in terms of academics, like faculty empowering nursing students. And it seems that mentorship, an effective mentorship experience, is something that contributes to empowerment. Hawks defined empowerment as the interpersonal process of providing the resources and environment to develop the ability of others to reach their goals. If we look at our findings in light of this definition here, it implies that you have a student who is empowered, while there is also a preceptor who acts to empower that student. And the resource that both members employed was the AM model, and the AM model giving students a voice at the same time as the AM model's guiding preceptors to help to empower the students. Bradbury Jones has done some research on looking at empowerment in nursing students, and they find that students who are respected as learners and as persons in the clinical setting feel that they are empowered. And this sense is highly contingent upon mentors who are able to facilitate a learning experience and to recognize students' learning needs, which is quite similar with our own findings. A second thing was that sense of empowerment for nursing students exists when students feel that they are respected and when they're equal members within a dyad, which was a finding from Bradbury Jones. It's interesting to look at our dyad that only applied the AM model at the midterm point in the semester, whereas there was a hierarchy prior to applying the model, and post applying the model, this hierarchy was reduced, which is also consistent with Bradbury Jones's findings. There are a few limitations that we'd like to point out. One is that we did not do any follow-up assessment of how participants understood the model, so we do not know how effective the workshop was in having them understand the concepts behind the model. And some participants, due to the nature of the interviews being spread over a month, some participants had more time to use the model, which may have led them to become more familiar with it, or perhaps it was a relationship that became, more familiar. And also, participants were required to enroll in pairs due to our inclusion and exclusion criteria, so we had to turn down some participants who wanted to enroll even though their partner did not want to. Some implications for practice. Most importantly, the AM model seems like it has potential to be a resource for dyads in the clinical setting. If the model were to be introduced into nursing curriculum, students would have a tool that could provide them with skills before they even enter into a relationship to help them be more aware of what's expected of them in their role. The same goes for preceptors within clinical placements that are partnered with the university. As Elizabeth pointed out in our literature review, that preceptors often lack the support and guidance that's required to enter into this preceptor role. This model has potential to be applied in other nursing supervisory relationships, such as a relationship between head nurses and student nurses, as well as supervising, new CNSs, nurse educators, administrators, and researchers. And this last point here is particularly exciting. The model has been recently incorporated into a mentorship program that's being developed at St. Mary's Hospital. This program is, the next steps are for it to be piloted amongst a few units. And the nurses seem to be enjoying the idea behind the model. Some future directions. Our study took place in a community health clinical setting. This similar type of study could be repeated in other settings to see whether or not this model may be suitable to varied contexts. Second is we don't know how the model should be used in its optimal way. Let's say we don't know if it should be introduced before the relationship, at the beginning of the relationship, maybe halfway through, we don't know, and how often should the model be referred to. Some longitudinal studies can track dyads over time and can also perhaps make links between certain indicators such as attrition, absenteeism, job satisfaction, or burnout amongst nursing staff and nursing students too. So we'd like to thank our advisors, Norma and Antonia, for being very patient with us and giving us lots of support. Thank you. And Dr. Margaret Purdon, as well as Françoise Félion, merci beaucoup, and Madame Bonneau, right here. And our participants, of course, and our classmates, you've all been great. Thank you. That's a good question. The question was, in our limitations, there was a possibility that some of our participants did not understand the model. And what could we do to help them understand the model better? What would we do? Okay, this is a limitation because we did not assess it, right? Research on the AM model that's been done in the last 20 years, they say that one introductory session may not be enough, and that there may be the need for continual meetings with dyads to talk about how the relationship is progressing using the model. So creating opportunities that explicitly refer to the model can help to increase understanding with dyads. Yes. The question is, we looked at the application of the model at a very specific level, which was within undergraduate nursing dyads, and could the model be applied to different, different types of relationships across a variety of levels? And
I think that this model can be applied also as, for example, for CNAs, or like mentorship relationship, for example, nurse administrator or nurse researcher. And that could be also applied for maybe beginning nurse, like maybe the first year or second year. And I think it's really it's depend because like the both need to receive the training to use the model. But I think this is a model can be used like across. Across nursing.
Yeah, across a variety of settings. And also the research over the last 20 years, because it's new to nursing, the research that has been done is focused particularly in education. So it's looked at supervising, teaching new educators, for instance, high school teachers, or also university teachers as well. It's been used in a relationship between a physician and a nurse practitioner. It's been looked at in classes where students who are learning about translation for English as their second language, which is a group setting where one teacher applied the model within a group. So, I mean, there are a variety of ways to apply the model as the concept is, you know, pretty straightforward.
As a follow-up to this study, is there a particular population that you want to try this test itself with?
Okay. The question is, as a follow-up, should there be, do we have our sights aimed on any particular population? I think probably within the hospital, acute care settings would likely be a place that could benefit from seeing whether or not this model is suitable.
Yes. So I'm really impressed by the results. I think they're very interesting, and I'm glad that you guys were able to do it. I know it's a lot of work. And what I was wondering is, what I really like is the fact that at St. Mary's, they're going to improve, like, take this model and try to methodology to use it in their teaching. Do you think that this could be a good way of some kind of a follow-up on this model for maybe other master's students? Because I think you really demonstrate that this is quite a model that can be powerful. You have some limitation, and of course another limitation is that the DIA that you chose, they were willing to do it too. So this is a little bit of a bias too, you know. Always an amazing sample, it always happens where, you know, people, you know, when you choose people, like they choose to do it, so they're a bit more inclined to do it. But still, I find it's really interesting, and,
I see. Should I summarize the comment? Okay, there's a couple of things. One is that would the model perhaps find some use at the master's level? And also, it's interesting that it's being used at St. Mary's. And sorry, there's one more point. I'll comment on the part about the master's level, for instance. It's very fresh for several of us in the room that we entered into a long-term relationship with advisors, right? And as students, we don't necessarily know what our role is within this relationship. The model brings our attention to the fact that we do have a responsibility, and it provides us a language for both the supervisor and the student to use, to talk about progress and to communicate needs, to say, this is what I'm good at, this is what I'm not good at, can you please give me some help with this? Or, and something that's even a little further, which I still find is something that's a little bit intimidating as a student, is telling an advisor when an approach is not working. If a relational space can be created for this to occur, then I think we can make great progress in nursing education.